KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly sunny skies, and it's 57 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy today with a high around 73. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In the news, two people were arrested on drug charges Friday in Creston. 27-year-old Brandon Haley of Clarinda and 28-year-old Tyler Elmore of Creston were taken into custody at 424 New York Avenue in Creston. Haley was charged with possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, second offense, and later released from the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a promise to appear in court. Elmore was being held in the Union County Jail on charges that include possession with the intent to sell marijuana under 50 kilograms, failure to affix a drug tax stamp, criminal mischief in the fourth degree, two counts of assault on persons in certain occupations, possession, that is, of drug paraphernalia, possession of a controlled substance, methamphetamine, first offense, and his bond was set at $14,000. And a Creston woman residing in the 900 block of North Birch Street reported to police Friday that sometime over the past week, someone broke into her residence and took several items valued at $5,175 altogether. Among the items was a cedar chest, a camelback trunk, two ceramic Christmas trees, three rings, a couple of vacuum cleaners, a wood trencher, a crockery churn, some change, and a bank. Sheriff's officials in Adams County report a Cass County man was arrested Saturday night after being pulled over twice in 24 hours for the same offense. Brian Iltz of Messina was pulled over on Highway 34 at Ginkgo Avenue at around 8:45 a.m. Friday. Upon further investigation, he was found to have a barred license, was charged, and released from the scene. And then around 8 p.m. Saturday, an Adams County deputy has conducted a traffic stop on Iltz at a Birch Avenue and 240th Street. He was arrested that time for driving while barred and transported to the Adams County Jail, where Iltz was being held pending an appearance before the magistrate. Members of the City of Atlantic's Personnel and Finance Committee will meet Wednesday evening at 5:30 during an in-person session as opposed to the Zoom meeting. During the session, the committee will hold an open discussion and take recommendations on human and financial resource changes resulted from COVID-19, along with any other business to come before them. City Administrator John Lund says a lot has happened in the last 40 days. Things are rapidly changing in human resources and public finance. The city is staying on top of everything it can, but the council oversight of these two critical functions is essential, and we need to have an opportunity for a question and answer period so the council's questions can be addressed directly and also make sure its priorities are being responded to by staff. The meeting will take place in the council chambers Wednesday, again at 5:30, but it is limited to 10 people, and the 6-foot separation policy will be adhered to. Lund says the city has acquired face masks for those in attendance if they so desire. Officials of Golden Hills RC&D report the second year of the Waubonsie State Park Artist in Residence program again proved to be fruitful for the artists as well as the park. The program engages artists and visitors with the natural resources of the park through a visual arts lens. Time spent at Waubonsie allows the artists to immerse themselves in the landscape as a source of inspiration and opportunity to intensely focus on their work without other distractions. In exchange for the artists' accommodations, they agree to leave a permanent work of art for the park and also conduct a public engagement session. Terry Parrish McGaffin, the final artist of the 2019-20 program, completed her stay in mid-March just as Iowa began to feel the effects of COVID-19 pandemic. Her public program, Painting from Your Nature Photos, was postponed until a later date to be determined when it is again safe to gather in groups. However, that didn't stop the Friends of Waubonsie State Park from enlisting some public participation for the selection of the painting that will make its permanent home at Waubonsie. Terry gave the program administrators the choice of four paintings she completed during her residency, and in turn, they decided to let the Friends of Waubonsie decide which painting should stay in the park. After three rounds of Facebook polls, Sunset Ridge Trail in October, a 24x20 oil on canvas highlighting the beauty and diversity of the park in autumn, was chosen as the winner. Located in the Lus Hills, the Waubonsie State Park's 2,000-plus acres features prairies, savannas, and woodlands, which are home to very diverse flora and fauna, not to mention breathtaking vistas. Park manager Matt Moles, Golden Hills RC&D project director Lance Brisbois, and Lus Hills manager National Scenic Byway coordinator Rebecca Castle all worked together to develop and launch the project. And while there have been other artist-in-residency programs offered throughout the national parks system and select parks in other states, this was the first such program in one of Iowa's state parks. If you'd like more information on the artist-in-residence program and the artists, you can visit www.goldenhillsrcd.org/artist-in-residence. In other news, the Republicans competing in the 4th District Congressional Primary say it's time to begin rolling back the restrictions on businesses and gatherings that have been imposed during the pandemic. Steve King of Chiron is the incumbent congressman facing four challengers in June. King says he's been most concerned about limiting the freedom to assemble.
But when I saw the emergency that we were in, and I personally decided I'm not going to throw that wrench into the gears because there's a national crisis at work, and I don't want to undercut the people that are leading on this.
And Senator Randy Feenstra from Hull says this is a difficult situation for policymakers like Governor Reynolds.
And she is balancing all that needs to be done when it comes to our rights, our economy, our safety, and it's a tough time.
Brett Richards, a businessman who was the mayor of Irwin, says the time to rethink the emergency powers given to the governor.
A benevolent governor is great now, but what about a Chet Culver or someone else in the future?
Former Woodbury County Supervisor Jeremy Taylor says he's concerned about restrictions on religious liberty in other states.
And so I think we have to be very careful lest we go the way of the socialist left.
Stephen Reeder, a real estate broker from Arnold's Park, says the situation shows why it's important to elect people who follow the Constitution. Five congressional candidates participated in an online forum Sunday evening that was hosted by Crawford County Republicans and broadcast by KDSN Radio. Organizers say a drive-through testing site for the new coronavirus in Des Moines expects to see nearly twice the number of people today as was tested over the weekend. Television station KCCI says the site outside of Wells Fargo Arena drew about 240 residents seeking to be tested over the weekend. Governor Reynolds said she expected 200 more today. State leaders have said the goal is to eventually test up to 3,000 people per day at different drive-through sites around Iowa. On Sunday, the Iowa Department of Public Health had notified of 384 additional positive cases of COVID-19 for a total of 5,476 positive cases in Iowa. There have been an additional 1,356 negative tests for a total of 30,614 to date, which includes testing reported by the state hygienic lab and other labs. The number of positive cases, officials say, will continue to grow as test Iowa sites open and additional surveillance testing of large businesses and nursing home staff continues. Now, according to the IDPH, as of Sunday, six additional deaths have been reported. There are 286 hospitalized and 1,900 Iowans have recovered. At this time, 1 in 87 Iowans have already been tested. 118 people have died. According to the IDPH, the six additional most recent deaths were reported in Black Hawk County, Clinton County, Des Moines, Johnson, and Linn counties. And a reminder, the state of Iowa has released an updated dashboard on the coronavirus.iowa.gov. It will be updated daily to include comprehensive tracking of COVID-19 in Iowa. Iowa's three major public universities are planning to resume in-person classes this fall, but they're still working out the details of what it will look like during the coronavirus outbreak. Iowa Board of Regents President Mike Richards said the schools will follow state and federal guidelines to protect health as they develop plans for thousands of students to return to the campuses of University of Iowa, ISU, and Northern Iowa University. The number of coronavirus cases continues to rise in the state. Health officials on Saturday said the number had increased by 648. Well, the actual number of sick is thought to be much higher because many people haven't yet been tested. And a major nursing home for veterans has reported its first two COVID-19 cases, which is worrying development on a day in which cases hit a new daily high in the state. The home's commandant says one resident tested positive Friday, another Saturday during mass testing at the Iowa Veterans Home in Marshalltown. He says that they were transferred immediately to the VA hospital in Des Moines for precautionary care. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.